Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast. Thank you so much for checking out another episode. Today's feature is singer-songwriters Holly Schultz and Emma Nobe. Had a great time hanging out with these two the other night, getting to talk about some of their music and big shows coming up for them, and a whole lot more. We really fun hang with them, so I hope you enjoy it. Do want to remind you, as always, Rock Paper Podcast is brought to you by Friendship Brewing Company in Wentzville, Missouri, serving up all your craft beer needs. Over 25 rotating taps over there, all kinds of delicious food and weekly specials, and daily specials. And we got great live music happening every weekend. You got your kicking off the weekend on Thursday nights. They do Singo Bingo. This Thursday on April 11th will be boy bands and girl gangs themed. Friday, April 12th, Michael Marciano. And Saturday, April 13th, Josh Littig. Again, you come out there, get yourself some burgers, nachos, flatbread, pizzas, all kinds of tasty eats and drinks, and have a great time at Friendship Brewing Company. A little while back, they launched their second location in Flint Hill, Missouri, just outside of Wentzville, serving up the same great beer, all kinds of great music out there as well. On Friday, April 12th, catch James Bertles out there. And Saturday, April 13th, Songs for Heroes event going on out there from which will feature songwriters John Easton and Zach Hennard. So, come on out and support that event with a $5 donation and have a great time. And they do a lot of other events for the community. There's a on April 20th, they're doing a Westminster Dog Show. It's their take on the annual dog show. You think your pup's got what it takes? Come on out for that on April 20th. Find their full events calendar, beer menu, food menu, and everything else at friendshipbrewingcompany.com. Get plugged in with them on Facebook and Instagram for more info. And see what's happening. Get out there and support local beer. Have a great time and drink responsibly. If you need anything from me, you can always hit me up on the socials. Email me, rockpaperpodcast@gmail.com. Everything else, rockpaperpodcast.com. I would love to hear from you. With that out of the way, sit back, relax, and enjoy this brand new episode with Holly Schultz and Emma Nobe.
Podcast is kind of like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
I'm Holly Schultz.
And I'm Emma Nobe.
And this is Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Scissors beat paper, paper covers rock. Rock beat scissors, Shane covers nonstop. Never know what new kind of guest that he's got coming at you. Live and direct on the spot. Could be rock, folk, country, or hip-hop, jazz. All kind of folks that he has. Could be an artist or a comedian to make you laugh on the
Rock Paper Podcast.
Double-decker fudge round, rolling round town. Shane coming at you live and direct from ground zero. He's your hero, he's your bestie. Rock Paper Podcast with Shane Presley.
Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out today with Holly Schultz. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
This is very cool. We got some couple of special guests hanging out too, including some four-legged friends.
Too many of them.
we got Emma Nobe, right?
Emma Nobi. Hey, Nobi. How's it going? Hey, here we go.
Sorry, yeah. I never actually said it out loud. So
no, you're good.
I apologize.
But thrilled to be here.
Yeah. This is fun. Like this is a lot of why I continue to do this show is like getting to continue to meet new people making music in our town.
Yeah, that's an important thing that you're doing, Shane.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, we really appreciate
absolutely.
It. I have a lot of fun with it, and I like that you know, the show continues to introduce me to new artists, and we're catching up with old friends, and I've been I've been following both of you for a while now. We through the internet, you know, we've been trying to keep up with all the dates around town, trying to what's going on in our music community, and Al Holiday's show at Miners. We ran into each other.
Yeah, we did run into each other. That was pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, it was a good night. Al Holiday's one of the best, and the East Side Rhythm Band, and it was such a fun night, and Brian Crum opening that show. That was cool too, but anyway, that's kind of I think with like that night we even kind of said like we should do one of these.
Yeah.
So it's kind of took a little bit, but we're here and we're making it happen. And that's what's fun. Like it gives us a good excuse to hang out and get to know a little bit more about each other. And because like I said, I don't really know much about either of you. So it's fun that we sit down and come right to the source and get the story. So I guess for Holly, I don't know, like, are you from St. Louis? Is it St. Louis home or is it?
You know, St. Louis was always a place that I'd come back to in the summer because, like, my parents are from around here. So my mom grew up in Collinsville. My dad grew up in Mount Olive, Illinois, which is like a really small town. There's only about 2,000 people there. And so my dad would spend a lot of his teenage years in St. Louis going to shows at like Mississippi Nights and, you know, hanging out with some cooler people in the scene. And he got to know Steve Ewing pretty well. And it's just really cool. I've been going to see The Urge play since I was 13 years old. Yeah. I've been to every show for the past 13 years. So it's been cool.
Play that motherfucking Urge.
That's right. Ha ha. And yeah, I mean, just like going and doing stuff like that really inspired me and my music and made me want to pursue my music career. You know, this is all I do now. And it's funny to think I was 9 years old when I kind of first was picking up guitars and getting interested in writing just in general. And I was 10 years old. It was after Christmas. I'd saved up like $300. And I told my dad, I was like, Dad, I want to go get a guitar. And he took me to Guitar Center. I think we were living in Moline, Illinois at the time. And I went and picked out my first guitar, which was an exotic wood Ibanez. And it was an acoustic electric so that I could definitely get to some open mics and start playing. But I had always been singing pretty much my whole life. So I'd been in and out of choirs and, you know, school functions, and adding a musical element to the stuff that I was coming up with, like my poetry, kind of just, it gave me a base to jump off and just start running. Yeah. And that's all I wanted to do was play music.
Did Dad play or was just a fan?
My dad has just always been a music fan. Yeah. My mom has always been a music fan. But like my grandma was the one that kind of turned me on to musicals. And I think after watching Grease for the 1,000th time, you know, I was like, okay, maybe I want to sing. I want to be a singer.
Yeah.
And I was just always in front of a camera too, because my parents were crazy about videotaping me. But, you know, I was just a goofy kid with a goofy dream, and now it seems like that dream is pretty much starting to come to fruition, which is great.
Yeah.
I couldn't ask for better support.
So at 10, you already started hitting open mics with the yeah. guitar.
Yep. The first song I taught myself how to play was Wish You Were Here by Pink Floyd.
Oh, yeah, I love that song.
I'm sure it was a crappy rendition of it, you know, but my singing voice wasn't too bad. And it's weird because I don't know, like most people have a hard time playing an instrument and singing at the same time. And yeah, certain rhythms were really hard for me, but I don't know about you, Emma, but like it was like easy to start singing and playing at the same time. Did you have any troubles doing that?
Well, I think you're amazing that you started off like that, because singing and playing was kind of a struggle for me when I started.
Yeah.
Like, I've always been a guitar player first. That's always been, like, I wanted to be Eddie Van Halen. Can you blame me? Don't worry, y'all. Locomotive Breath by Jethro Tull was, like, one of the first songs that I got comfortable, like, singing and playing with. And it's also on Spotify, but, like, I would be lying if I said, like, years back when I recorded it, it didn't take me a lot of time to do that, because it did. It was, like, a new skill that I had to learn how to build, you know? Yeah. So it's so cool that that came really naturally to you.
Oh, thanks, dude. Yeah. I'm glad that it both worked out for us, though.
Hey.
Look at us badasses.
Showing it.
What about your early start, Emma? Are you also from the area, or did you move here to St. Louis? Or
I'm from Central Illinois, and I moved here a couple years ago, shortly after the pandemic, and I was just looking to get plugged into the music scene.
Because I feel like both of you, like, you know, I've been well, I'm in May, it'll be 10 years I've been doing this. And I've been, you know, trying to work my way around the city, you know, meeting people, like I said. But like both of you kind of, you know, similar timelines, I think, for as far as my introduction to you, both like, kind of came up around the same time. And I started seeing your names popping up on, like I said, calendars and different things, or playing with friends of mine and stuff, or, you know, other friends of mine. And so that's why I figured probably something like that, like I said, moving to the area and started gigging out here more when I kind of started hearing about your name and stuff. So
I think it's like, you know, you go to the right open mic just seemingly, and you're opening up a whole new door of like new people, new musicians, and there's just like people that you really click with. And actually I just happened to be at one of Emma's shows, or
Third Wheel Brewing.
Third Wheel, yeah. And I saw Emma play. Well, I didn't see you play first. I saw you at the bar first.
That's right.
And I was like, who is this cute girl with these glasses?
Dude, same.
Because we both were wearing round glasses at the time, I think, too. And it was just like,
it was destiny.
I want to know her.
Literally same. I was like, how do I talk to Holly? And then you corrected the guy who was playing when he said that Eric Clapton did Layla, when it was Derek and the Dominoes.
It was Derek.
And I was like, what a queen. Tell him.
<Yeah. laughs> Hey, the end to that song, that, oh, it's just, it doesn't even fit with the song, but I'm glad that it's there.
Yeah.
It's so good.
But I remember just like hearing you play for the first time and being like, oh man, she plays guitar so much better than I do. It's just so great.
I love you. You're so kind.
I love you too. Aww. Yeah.
So have you guys collaborated yet, or doing, you know?
I mean,
we need to.
Yeah.
We do. That's need a to. Thing. We're working on stuff now. You know, for this show on the 17th at Hopskeller, which is in Waterloo, right?
Yeah, Hopskeller in Waterloo, Illinois. We're playing 7 to 10.
Yeah.
And it's going to be so much fun. I'm so excited to have you on my team, and I'm so thrilled and grateful to you for, playing music with me.
I'm so excited, too, because honestly, I've been waiting for you to ask for a hug.
What? Yeah. Dude, you should have told me. I would have been like, let's go.
Well, it's just that, you know, and you get it as a solo musician too, you get busy, and it's like you don't know how much you can really take on until you end up like, you know, taking on 10 projects at once. And you're like, oh, I actually can shuffle this much stuff around and it's not that bad. I'll get a break one day.
Yeah. No.
But man, I'm thankful to know such a plethora of just badass female musicians in the scene.
I thought that show you mentioned, what was it?
Man Smart, Woman Smarter.
Yeah, that show in particular, I mean, the lineup was stacked from top to bottom of an incredible artist.
Amazing artists.
Yeah. And I'm just like, I just thought that was a really cool idea, like bringing all these female artists together and supporting each other in this. And then also, like you're saying, like maybe some of them, I feel like everybody kind of gets in their own lane sometimes where it's like it's hard to go out and see other people playing around town.
Yeah.
And because you're gigging yourself or whatever. It's like, so then when you get to a chance like something like that where, you know, there's 10 artists or whatever on the show, and then you're like getting to see everybody, and like you realize like you've been a fan from afar, but then you get that chance to actually be a part of it and stuff. It's like really powerful stuff, I think. So
yeah, getting absolutely to see people like Hillary Fitz and, you know, Valley Gold, Mary Porzelt,
Leah Osborne.
Oh yeah, Leah.
Leah's amazing.
Emily Wallace.
Oh my goodness.
You know, people that, I don't know about you, I mean, we both look up to that whole absolutely lineup of women, you know, and we just really respect them and what they have to offer to the scene. And it was a really special night. And the lodge at the Lovejoy in Alton, if you haven't had a chance to get there for like just small festivals, or even I think Tate Kelly is starting to do a Sunday open jam there. I'm not sure how often, but you know, checking his page for that. That'll be something that's worth catching.
Yeah.
And it's worth supporting that place for sure.
Absolutely.
The owner is super sweet.
Russ is such a kind human. He's so kind. He really is.
Yeah, it makes my day every time I get to chat with him and see him.
I feel. It's cool. I just felt super honored to be included in that lineup with like so many talented women.
Girl, you deserved it. You're so wonderful.
Thank you, friend.
Yes.
But for real, it gives me like so much hope as an artist and as a woman, like seeing women who are successful, like ahead of me doing the thing. It makes me feel empowered to feel like, hey, like if they can do it, I can do it. And I just feel really special to get to be included in the same space with these women who are so talented and so amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The you brought up the thing, quote, end quote, the thing, doing the thing, what is the measure of success, though, dude? Like, because we're playing regularly out, I consider that to be doing the thing. You're doing the thing.
I love you, friend.
Ah, I love you, too. It's true, though.
It is. Yeah. I feel like that's the hard thing about being an artist is, like, the thing is always changing. Like, when I first moved to St. Louis, I was like, dude, if I can get my band to book gigs, if I can play acoustic gigs, if I can make connections, like, I'm going to be happy. And now I'm doing that, and then I'm just like, but there's still more I could do. It's like, how do we learn to be content with where we're at? And, like, I think what you're happy with, it just depends on the person and your goals, you know?
That's true. I mean, lately I've been trying to move more towards touring. Like going outside of St. Louis, because St. Louis, while it's wonderful, you know, there are some venues that just aren't worth the time of day. Mm. And no hate, you know, but this isn't the 80s anymore. I'm not going to play for 4 hours for $100. I'm sorry.
I hear you. Don't be sorry. Yeah. You deserve to get paid. Yeah. You're amazing and you're worth everything.
Yeah. And it's like there are plenty of like very well respected venues in the city as well. You know, like I've got First Fridays at Seamus McDaniel's in Dogtown, and that's from 8 to 11, and it's really cool to be able to have like residency gigs to fall back on like that, and Billy G's in Kirkwood. I don't know, those places like that are worth it for sure.
Sorry to interrupt but I'm getting some static from somebody's phone. So I don't know if you guys are.
Is it mine?
I'm not. I might help to put it on airplane.
Put mine on airplane. Make
but
sure.
There
we go.
Occasionally.
Oh, just being like high electricity.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Just a little bit. I mean, not like overly, but I just don't want to say something great, and then that's where. You know,
yeah, it gets cut off, yeah, right? Yeah. I get that.
That would be sad.
But I think kind of what you're talking about is, I think as an artist, there's like a moving goalpost. You know, yeah, it's like, yeah, definitely, if you would tell yourself, say, like Holly talked about being 10, what starting out, like tell that 10-year-old girl that you're playing couple nights a week and getting paid for it, like,
oh yeah, that was the dream, right? That was the dream.
But once you're doing that, then the next thing is like, well, now touring, like, now, you know, it's like, so definitely the goal keeps, the thing keeps evolving, you know, and like, so I do, it is tricky kind of thing, trying to balance all of it, trying to make it work as a career path. And I do think, like, making, you know, this is making it, like, I think, you know, being paid to play music, you know, is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then but I do feel like St. Louis is kind of weird about some stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, we do have an incredible thing happening here in St. Louis right now, which I love talking about doing on the show. But also, there's something about, we love a success story, a hometown success, mm-hmm, story. But unfortunately, it tends to be that those people moved away and made it, and then we want to be like, oh yeah, but they're from St. Louis. Like, you know, it's like, we want to celebrate them after they've went on to somewhere else and made it successful.
Yeah, you'll never be a hometown hero until you leave.
Right.
Which is really, it's really bad. You know, I could play a banger of a show full of covers that, you know, I mean, the thing that I think sets me apart from other musicians that are playing at bars or restaurants or whatever is that I play the shit that you don't really hear. So I do acoustic rap covers. I do, you know, B-sides usually off of albums. And it's stuff that people approach me after the show and they're like, oh my God, I never knew that this could be played like this.
Sure.
But then it gets to an original song, you know, and I kind of talk a little bit about it before I play it. And then nobody is listening. Nobody claps. Nobody cares. And
do you tell them it's original?
Yeah.
I think
I stopped recently.
Yeah. I've been talking about this for a while. Like, I've told friends, like, don't tell them it's original. Just play it and then tell them it's afterwards. You know, like, I think there's something, especially in a, it depends on the room.
Right.
There's certain audiences that strictly want originals, you know, but then, like, but then they have, like, the bar crowd, like you're saying, they want the hits. They want something, something familiar.
They want 3 a.m. by Matchbox 20, 50 times.
But, It's something, it's like I try to tell them, like, it's like reverse psychology kind of thing. You got to, like, just throw it in there, mix it in with another song that you feel like they'll match well with. And then, like, people will be like, oh, who was that? You know, it's like, oh, this is mine. You know, it's like.
I did once tell somebody before I started playing that this was a song that Taylor Swift hasn't released. Right, <yeah. laughs> Just to kind of like get people to be like, what? Oh, I was like, yeah, me and T Swizzle are friends. I don't have her number.
She just leaked me this demo version of it.
Yeah. It's like, here, only you can play this. Although she took all of her tabs off Ultimate Guitar. I'm kind of upset about that. A lot of people request her songs.
Yeah.
Taylor, if you're out there.
Right. Big fan.
Yeah.
Taylor's amazing.
Yeah.
Which Eras Tour is hitting Disney Plus this week, so.
Yeah, holy crap.
That's check awesome. That out.
Also, she's worth so much money. She can afford to buy Kanye and still and still be a millionaire. And I think that's amazing.
Right. Hell yes. As she should.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Well, speaking of playing, let's talk about a song you played live acoustic here. And actually, Emma requested this one. And this is a song called Summer.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing. Oh. Just like Holly.
You're too much.
No.
Yeah, surprisingly, the first line to Summer, I wrote that. When did I write that? I think 2022. The first line to Summer was actually stolen inspiration from drinking a Gatorade. Because the first line is electrolyte zing on my tongue. And I was looking at my phone and I was looking at some old pictures and, you know, it was weird. I was sitting at the gas station at the BP by my house and
shout out.
Yeah. I was writing down all this stuff because I don't know, sometimes when inspiration strikes, you know, you just got to stop whatever you're doing and get it down or else it'll go away. And so I wrote down probably the first verse and I came back home and I sat on my piano because that's usually how I write songs first. Not a lot of people know that, but I play piano or write all my music on piano first. And that chord progression just came out. And I mean, it's a real easy chord progression. It's just in C. It's just a walk down. And that's been used in plenty of other songs. But it just struck a chord with me. So yeah. I had to run with it. And, you know, it's just about being in life. If you're not facing challenges in life, then you're not really growing as a person. And it's about begging for help to get out of the shit that is my own brain. Because sometimes my own brain likes to play tricks on me. And, you know, we all get into a funk every once in a while. Mm-hmm. So it's good to get out of that. And writing songs has always helped me with my mental health. And making me feel better about where I am.
Electrolytes sing on my tongue while I stare at picture that thoughts are unsung. It's summer. Stuck in the framed menagerie. Love don't mean a thing if it's not free. Only time will tell when my brain sleeps out. My head is spinning, colors swirl about. Stuck once again in the rotten box. Picking up stones, kicking the rocks. Twilight sets into the clouds. I can see the stars, but they don't shine. They twinkle like sunbeams caressing the sky. I can hear them as they pass by. They go. Somebody help me, please, to know what it means to be one with the earth. It's not what it seems. There's so much more to this than we'll ever know. It's all about love and letting it go. It is stronger than it used to be now. Thought process ain't working the same, even though how many hits I take, it's always the same. Time it never ends, and days go by faster than they ever intend to. The message you sent, well, you never meant to do something so dumb, something alone. Somebody help me, please, to know what it means to be one with the earth, one with the fire, one with the water, one with the sky. Help me to believe that it's not.
Yeah, it's a powerful song, and I think just that line, like, let that shit go, is like, I mean, that rings loud, and like, it's definitely something that in certain times it need to be heard, you know, for sure. Like, I think we all kind of get stuck in our own way sometimes, and so is there any particular part of the song, Emma, that you really connect with, or is there anything in particular?
Absolutely. Yeah. I love this song. And like I've told Holly before, like I feel like I deeply connect with it, especially the line about like still being a child and like having that feeling of vulnerability that like it never really goes away. Yeah. You know, we grow up and we think we're someday going to have it together, but we don't. There's always new challenges and new things that will like, what's the word? Like, maybe not humble you, but remind you, oh, shit, there's still so much that I've got to learn.
I'm just a small fish in a big pond.
Yep. You know?
it's funny, though, because as much as you may think that you're just an individual entity, you know, there really is some sort of collective conscious that we all have as human beings. And, you know, if you think that you're alone, then you really don't have a grasp on the world and what it really means to live because everybody around you is going through the same shit, just in a different way. And I don't know. I just wanted to bring light to that and make it better for other people, you know.
You convey that so beautifully. You really do.
Thank you.
I think it also goes back to that Wish You Were Here cover. We're just two lost souls swimming in a fish bowl.
Yeah. So, well, that's sure why I like Pink Floyd, you know. I think that I have a lot in common with... oh, Jesus, help me out. Sid Barrett, yes, thank you. As a teenager, I was struggling with depression a lot, and I really did think that there were people out to get me sometimes, you know. And because of that paranoia, I would really just lock myself in my room for hours. I'd come out to eat, you know, and then I'd go back into my room. And music also really helped me with that.
Sure.
Because I wouldn't have evolved, I don't think, if I wouldn't have had the hunger to go play and share a message with the world. A lot of my older, earlier music, which is actually on YouTube. If you do a super deep dive, you can find some of my stuff that I was playing when I was like 14 years old. It was really depressing stuff. It was written about really serious shit. I had, you know, songs about, you know, really dark topics, and I was kind of edgy. I thought that I was an edgy little badass. But I was just a kid, yeah. You know, I didn't really understand even the tip of the iceberg, you know, of how bad life can get sometimes.
Yeah. There's a guy I like a lot, Lincoln Durham. And, he's like, kind of like gothy folk, singer kind of stuff. Like a lot of his, lyrics and stuff is a lot of like really dark imagery and things along with it. Like, yeah. And, but you talk to him and he's like the most light, positive, you know, nice yeah. person. And, but like, this is, these songs are how he gets that junk out of his head and puts it into words and like lets it go. And like, and he, so people like think like he's, you know, this maybe something that he's not because of his songs and things, but it's kind of also this, you know, character, I guess, almost in a way like that he plays on stage, but that is, you know, in real life, like he's very much not that, but you know, it's, so it's just kind of interesting the way he described it. You know, like I said, like this is his escape for him. Like these are the way to let it go, let that shit go. So,
most definitely.
You know, so.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think there's a lot of power in songwriting and like, and then also the fact that, you know, you do write some of these songs, maybe they do connect to you at a certain point in time. I mean, these are the, just because you continue to like have this song and you perform it, it's all, these are all like, a timestamp, you know, this is like a moment in time that this is when I related the most to this, but doesn't always still mean that these are, I'm feeling this exact same thing today.
Yeah.
You know, we all grow, but I do feel like there's power in those song lyrics where people, like, you know, like Emma listened to it and it has an impact on her and myself and anybody else that hears in that. They connect their own story to these song lyrics and you know, create their own, you know, growth from it and stuff, be able to, you know, make a difference in somebody else's life, you know?
So. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of why I titled the album From Here to Now, just because it's so crazy how fast a year can go by, but yet you experience all these pivotal moments, you know, in your life. And I mean, shit, my brother died in 2019 and then my uncle died, you know, in 2021. And it was just like, after experiencing all this grief and like really holding on to a lot of almost resentment, really, for a lot of people. And I've always been a person of justice. I've always wanted to right the wrongs and, you know, call people out for shit. And it made me realize that, you know, maybe it's not worth it. It's not worth your suffering and your time to like have all that crap in your head. And you gotta get it out. That's the first thing. Anytime somebody comes and asks me for advice, I'm like, have you written about it?
Yeah.
Because I mean, shoot, sometimes you have to write about it and go light it on fire. Yeah. Just like, just the act of doing that sometimes makes you feel a little bit better. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I did like songs like Everybody Else.
Oh, yeah.
You know, something like, that's a good one to like tell people how it is. And, you know,
exactly.
So, I love it. So.
No, I wrote that song. Man, you know, the internet's a great place. Yeah, right. I got into a fight with somebody online. And I mean, you know, whether or not you're right in the argument it doesn't really matter. It's just, why the hell are you arguing? Why does it even matter? Yeah. Why do you feel the need to share your opinion so much, you know? And yeah, that song's a great,
yeah,
great representation of that. Right. For sure.
All right, let's do one more. We did another live one here today, and they said this is currently unreleased, right?
Yeah, it's unrecorded. It's called Like Before. You know, well, relationships are hard, man.
Yeah.
You know, the choice to be with somebody is probably the greatest gift that you can give another person. You know, making the decision to stick around and deal with the ups and downs and the inner workings of their life and them dealing with the inner workings of your life, you mm-hmm. know, it's important. And it seems like every time I was in a relationship with somebody, you know, something would happen. I just be like, that's it. I'm done. You know, I don't really want to deal with this anymore because it's exhausting. But every once in a while you get real lucky and you meet somebody that's worth your time and your effort. And, you know, it's good because you make them feel important and they make you feel important. It's real special.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I owed him a good, sweet, sweet love song.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure that I can do this now, for the daylight's gone and I'm too weak to wake. Forgotten words and broken bonds are left to guide me. It's all that's left of my mistakes. Tell me I'm wrong when the words don't come out right now. When they don't mean nothing at all, and all that's left is a piece of the past now. All that's left is a piece of home. I'm stuck between consciousness and dreams, an endless stream of what's to be. I may not be the simplest of ladies, one that's nice and easy to please. After all this time, you were the one. After all this time, I thought you'd wanna leave. I'm a little scared of the future. What's to come of all of this? Laying it down, put the worry on the shelf. One step at a time, little girl. Places that I seem to walk on down the line. back out like before.
I mean, there's everything you just said. I've been actually tomorrow will be our 15 years together, and this fall will be 10 years married, me and my wife. And you know, we both have lost a parent since we've been together. You know, there's like very much that, you know, there's a lot of, you got to be there for each other, highs and lows, whatever it is. But you know, it's nice when you find that one, that person that gets it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, it's like, you know, your weird matches their weird so well. You know, there's no other person that could put up with me that Brandon does. All right. At least I don't think.
Well, you got some opportunities to come see Holly live. Well, like you said, we got a couple of residencies popping up. You got your first Friday at Seamus McDaniel's, and fourth Friday, last Friday of the month at Chillax in St. Peter's area.
Yep.
And fourth Saturday of the month at Woodshack, and that's with the band, that girl band.
So. Yeah, yeah. Melanie Reed on bass. That's always a fun show, full of lots of harmonies, lots of like 70s to current music. We do a couple of rap songs too that we put our own spin on, which is super fun. The Woodshack, check out the page for the dates for that. Sometimes it switches just based off of my availability. So we'll keep you in the loop if you care.
Yeah. Follow along on Facebook and Instagram for more dates and stuff. But you think, like before, might appear on a new record soon, or what are we what are you thinking?
Right now, man, this year I just got accepted into SIUE, so the school schedule's been crazy. I'm trying to finish up my second degree and working towards my bachelor's degree right now, hopefully with a master's and a doctorate in the future in art history. But yeah, I'm planning on probably heading up to Washington, Missouri to go record with my buddy Joe. And then we're going to send those over to my producer, Scott Kern, in Indianapolis, where he's going to mix and master those. And maybe next year we'll get something released. Might be working on a music video too.
Yeah.
Some promotional stuff going, getting some merch out with my art on it. It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Thinking about hoodies and hats.
Yeah. You know, I'll buy your merch. I can't wait for it.
I want some Emma Nobi merch. Hello. Ma'am. We need to get Maggie's face.
Oh my God. Yes.
Maggie's face on some shirts, dude.
Maggie is the OG supporter. She would. Maggie promotes all my gigs.
Dude, hey, you gotta play that algorithm, you know?
Oh, yeah. The algorithm loves Maggie more than me.
Yeah,
they do.
Same.
Like, I make, like, a guitar video that I worked hard on, and then Maggie just exists, and everyone's just like, react, react, react.
Oh, that's okay. I love dogs, too.
Relatable.
Yeah, I like, I see some friends that, you know, utilize that, you know, posting their gigs and then use their dog. And then it's like, now that I have your attention, like, you know. Like,
oh, most definitely.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's smart advertising.
It is shameless, right? Shameless plugging for your music, using your dog.
We, when we started this podcast, I used to do the show with my buddy Chris, and both of us were planning weddings at the time. And I also got my pup, and I think he had maybe just got some. Anyway, so there's a lot of, like, any of our socials were full of like puppy stuff or wedding stuff, and those were getting, that gets like a ton of activity
and stuff.
And so we're like, maybe we need to shift gears and do like a puppy wedding podcast or something like that.
How to pair the perfect puppy with your perfect wedding dress.
Right. So I was like, maybe we just give the people what they want. But yeah. So what about you, Emma? What's coming up with you for music? You got, you going to be getting any more recording soon, or, what's things shaping up for the rest of the year for you?
Yeah, I've got a few songs that I've been performing that I have yet to record that I'm going to be really excited to do that with. Something that I haven't done in a while is promote my second EP, which is my progressive rock Letters from Earth EP. And that one's a lot of fun. I'm hoping to get back to performing those sometime soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What, and that's like readily available on all the streamers and stuff?
Yep. Yeah. So I've got two EPs out. My first one is called Fierce is Feminine, and it's three covers. I cover some Rush, I cover Jethro Tull and Joe Satriani, some of my influences. And then Letters from Earth is my original progressive rock music. I take a lot of influence from like classic prog, like Rush and Deep Purple. I'm a really big Led Zeppelin fan. Yeah. I really like progressive rock. I like combining it with like the blues rock, because for me, having that emotional aspect is really important. I love, like, I appreciate like the initial values of like, especially the early progressive rock about like challenging yourself and doing interesting things with music. But for me, it's always important that my art has heart behind it, first and foremost.
Sure. Yeah. We'll be right back. I feel like that's probably what I connect to the most. Like, I mean, there's a lot of great players and stuff, but there's something about like people that actually put their heart and feelings and like these, you know, it really comes through in the way they play or the way, you know, the song lyrics and things like, and that's probably what I, like I said, that's what I feel like I connect to the most.
Yeah,
the stuff absolutely. That's relatability and stuff in it.
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, I, some pretty big, influences though, for sure. Some big shoes to, you know, like definitely,
oh goodness.
Oh man. If you haven't had the chance to catch Emma Nobi yeah. and a full band show. I mean, I saw her play at the Old Rock House. Who were you opening up for?
Jackie Benson.
That's right. Who was
she
also
is insane.
Amazing.
She's, oh my God. Absolutely she blows my mind.
Amazing. And her drummer is so like,
good.
State of the art.
Ridiculous.
Amazing drummer. But Emma, that Old Rock House show was probably like one of the most impressive like bits of musicianship I had ever seen. I was like, oh my God. That's my friend. I know her.
Thank you, beautiful friend. Welcome. And seriously, it made my life to have you in the audience that night. Cause I was nervous, but I look out and I'm like, I got my friend.
That's right.
I got this. I'm gonna play some Rush. Gonna play some Jethro Tull. It's gonna be so fun.
It was
so fun. I was so
really fun.
Honored just to be there and get to be a part of it.
Yeah. So if you haven't had the chance to see Emma Nobi play,
yeah.
go check that out.
I need to do that and make it happen.
Check out her videos. They're mm-hmm. amazing. And she's a guitar teacher too.
This is true. I teach beginner through advanced, acoustic and electric.
Yep.
For real, y'all. I've taught like 200 plus students. So if you want somebody who knows their shit, send your kids my way because I love my job so much.
Yeah.
Like encouraging future musicians and young musicians and helping them be their best and find their creative voice is what fuels me. So please, I love teaching.
She taught me how to play a Rush song earlier today.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I had to learn it for her show on the 17th.
Which one was that?
What You're Doing.
What You're Doing. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's a pretty tough. And then
oh yeah,
we worked on a killer Jack White song too. What's
Taking
that
Me Back?
Taking Me Back. Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy solo part. Yeah. And I have to hold it down on the bass. I'm like, okay, we got this.
And you are holding it down.
Girl.
I'm so excited to play with you.
I've only
you're
had
so
a
talented.
Year of experience like for bass, so.
And like I wouldn't even know because you're such a badass. I'm so thrilled to have you play with me. I really am.
I have imposter syndrome, Emma.
Girl, I'm gonna help you see your value because you are such a badass.
Thank you, beautiful.
That's what you would tell me.
That's right. Because it's true. I'll start believing it more.
I like some of the stuff at first from Jack White, like White Stripes. I remember. Mm-hmm. I think as part of it was just that it was just like everywhere for a bit, and like it was
oversaturated.
Like, yeah,
for sure.
Like fell in love with the girls, like all over the radio when it hit, and like and anyway, I kind of checked out for a little bit. I wasn't like super grabbed my attention, but. Just recently, as I really get into this podcast, The 500 with Josh Adam Myers, that I mention a lot. But I think he does a great job. It's a fun show to listen to. But he's a comedian going through 500 Rolling Stones 500 greatest albums of all time, and one of those he recently did. Each episode is to get dedicated to that album, and he has a different guest talking about it. And they did. Elephant.
Yeah.
Nice.
And so like revisiting that album through that show and like listening to these songs and stories and everything like really kind of like hooked me again and like is like made me appreciate a lot more Jack as an artist more than just some of the hits, I guess, you know, kind of thing. So
his album Blunderbuss,
yeah,
with 16 Saltines
on
it.
Oh my God, such a great album.
That blew my mind because actually Elephant was one of the first albums that I remember going to Best Buy to go purchase. And, you know, I rocked out to that album. I loved that album. And man, it was, he came out with the Icky Thump afterwards, right? And then Blunderbuss hit, and I was like, okay, Jack White solo without Meg.
Right.
And for the longest time, I thought that they were brother sister. I mean, they had me fooled. But, you know, I came to find out they were married, and that was their little joke. I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. A little weird, but okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, Jack White's solo stuff, really cool. I got to go to Third Man Records when I recorded my second album.
Nice.
In Nashville. And actually, they have one of those old style like record booths where you can go in there and get a vinyl pressing of like 45 seconds.
I think you like brought it on the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon or something. And like him and Neil Young were talking about it. And I was like, that's really cool. Like,
oh, yeah. Literally. There's only, I think, like 4,000 of them that are still working.
Yeah.
And, you know, I got to get in that booth and I brought my guitar into it. And it really is the size of like an old school telephone booth, you know, so I'm crammed in there. And I can't even remember which one of my songs I played in there. But yeah, I got the album upstairs in my vinyl collection.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it's super fun.
Yeah, it's like a photo booth but for a vinyl record, and like, you know, it's like you could just like get one shot, right? One take.
It's like you get tokens for it. Right. It doesn't take like quarters or money. Like there's specific tokens that you have to go pay at the register and you go put them in, and it's just super cool.
Yeah,
it comes with a sleeve and everything.
Yeah,
I kind of wonder where exactly that is though. I might go on the hunt for it after this.
Yeah. So
we might have to listen to that.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. You were mentioning that. Is that so that's your 2020 album?
No. That's Something Has to Give, which was recorded by Scott Kern in Indianapolis as well. And actually, you know, we had gone back and forth a couple of times because his wife, Stephanie, you know, she's immunocompromised. So I was like, well, you know, I haven't been around anybody for 2 weeks. I've been in the house. And he's like, okay, I haven't been around anybody for 2 weeks either. It's just been me and Stephanie, and Stephanie's been here. I was like, okay, well, I guess I'll sneak down to Indianapolis. And, you know, we kind of, we made like a bootleg, you know, album, kind of. And, that was really fun, but that was only recorded in 12 hours.
Ooh.
And that's a nine-song album. And I was sick. I ended up, like, getting sick there. And it wasn't COVID that I had, but, you know, I had, like, a sinus infection. And I sang on that album, and everything came out okay. So we did fine. But the second album that I recorded is 1,000 Voices, and that was done in, I want to say, 2014 or 2016. I can't remember. There's been a lot of abuse of substances. yeah, the Nashville one.
All right.
That was recorded at Omni Studios.
Okay.
And yeah, we did a music video for that for Oh God. Check that out. It's a little 16-year-old punk me.
Well, I liked I had an hour drive over. I was ahead of plenty of time to go through your catalog, and I was really enjoying it. And Summer stood out, but we did that one live. Which I thought was funny that we me and Emma both picked that one. There was a song, is it Bubby?
Yeah.
I like this one a lot from that record. And it was, I don't know, I thought it was really cool the way, did you harmonize your vocals on that?
I play all of the instruments, you know, except for a few things like the violin, the lap steel, you know, some the mandolin and banjo. Those aren't played by me, but I do all of the guitar parts, including the bass parts and all the harmonies. and some of the percussion instruments as well. So yeah, I think we did like maybe 4-part harmony on that.
Right.
And that song was written, my brother overdosed on fentanyl in 2019. And, you know, it was kind of weird because my brother had been an addict for as long as I can remember. I was probably like 10 years old when I kind of started understanding what exactly was going on. And, you know, just like everything else, I needed a way to get what I was feeling, you know, out of my head, because I was really upset by it. You know, when you're dealing with addiction within your family and with such a close family member, it's hard to kind of be compassionate because you don't understand why they don't see themselves the way that you see them, you know, and you almost have to let go of them while they're still alive because you never know when the last time is going to be. And unfortunately, it's not just like that with addiction, you know, it's like that with everything. So I've really learned not to take my relationships for granted. And,
darkness covers like a cloak. And how can I feel this deep?
You're not here anymore to
Yeah, that song just came out of a pure place of love and kind of resentment for wasting so much time, I guess, and for him wasting so much time. I mean, he wasn't even 30 yet. So, and we had 8 years apart, but we were best friends. When I started, you know, when I became an adult, when I turned 18, you know, my brother and I, we'd smoke in our parents' garage and, you know, and needless to say, you know, he was an addict, but he'd give you the shirt off his back if you needed it, you know, and he was the nicest guy. And, he lived in Tent City in St. Louis for a while, and he actually lived in my house for a while, which is our grandfather's house. And it was weird because, you know, one day we're making plans to like start an edibles bakery because we're daydreaming about the time that pot's legal. And, you know, he wasn't even here to like smoke legal weed with me, you know. And it's like, oh, dude, we could have done so much, you know.
Yeah.
And I felt bad because I felt like I could have tried harder for him. I could, you know, there was a million things that I could have said or could have done, and maybe it would have worked, maybe it wouldn't have. You know, I tell him all the time how much he'd be worrying my mom, and you know how much we needed him around, and it's a disease. You know, you can't really run away from it until you realize that it's a problem for you.
Yeah.
And I think that's the hardest part, is realizing that it's a problem for you.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry to hear about that. That's tough stuff to deal with, for sure.
Yeah.
And that fentanyl, that's bad news, for sure. It's and sad that it takes that kind of hold on people like that, you know, and scary.
Yeah. And it's sad because, you know, now even in the scene, and I don't want this podcast to take a super dark turn, but you know, I'm watching so many of my friends like doing coke for fun, and like, you know, it's cool until it's not cool and you get a little bit of fentanyl in your coke.
Yeah.
And then you fucking die because you thought that you were just out to have a good time. And then it's like, oh,
right.
Oh, I'm dead now, right. You know. So everybody out there, be safe. Yeah. Please, for the love of me, for the love of God, just be safe.
There was lyrics in this song that, and I maybe had partly did. So I had, on my drive over, I took 270 through Hazelwood area there and all that.
Yeah.
And in 2019, my mother was diagnosed with brain cancer, and she was in a nursing facility over that way. And so, like, driving, I don't drive that way very often. So when I do, like, that's, you know, that's the memory that's associated with driving that direction. And
to go see your mom.
So I got in my head and a little bit as I'm, and then I listen to this song comes on, and you know, you're saying you're not here and stuff like, so that's where I was really like, kind of, and then obviously they're different stories, but like there was a lot of connection there for me in these lyrics. And you know, it stinks no matter how it happens, but
oh yeah,
losing one, and that, you know, wondering why you're still here, and like, you know, it's without them and that kind of thing. But it's so yeah, it was tough.
Yeah. But once I wrote that song, though, I started deep diving into a lot of like you know, just videos on like how to deal with grief, and you know, realizing that they wouldn't want you to be sad, because you know, obviously your mom's not in pain anymore. My brother's not dealing with his addiction anymore and his demons. You know, that brought me a little bit of peace. And even though
like the song says, you know, you're not here anymore to change how I feel. You know, we're the masters of our own universe, sure. Man.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I've been trying to do my part to, you know, turn a negative into a positive the best I can. Yeah. I do a memorial show. I did one in 19 that she was able to attend as a benefit, and then 21 we tried one as when things kind of lightened up, and then we did one in 23. So but yeah, I was gonna try to do it this year, but I think I will do it this year. Just I was hoping to move it, do it in May, and I don't think it's gonna pan out. But that was the goal, was moving in last year to May was for Brain Cancer Awareness Month. So yeah. It was like, I thought it would be good to grow from there. And I didn't pan out right now, but we're gonna make it happen. But that's just want to do my part to try to help raise awareness and help others in need. And
it's important.
If I can, yeah. You know, take my story and share it with others and hopefully make a difference and some others that need it, you know, and time of need. So I think that's what, and keep their story, you know, keep going. So
yeah.
But yeah. Heavy stuff. Yeah. But made for a great song and very pretty.
Thank you.
And so check that out on your streamers. You can find more Holly songs there, more Emma songs, and get plugged in on the socials.
Yep.
Come see them live.
Yes. And, please follow us.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I got a couple of things I wanted to ask before we get out of here. Mm-hmm. Have fun with these and just get your take on some of these. Both of you guys can chime in.
All right.
All right. What about I saw you got a Beatles over here on the wall. But what about, say the day comes along, we get Holly or Emma action figures. What would you like to see as your three accessories with your
well, we both definitely need our round glasses.
Absolutely.
Our glasses essential. In general. Because we can't see without those.
Oh my God. How am I supposed to fret anything if I'm blind?
Yeah. Well, Emma, you're you and Maggie, me and Henry.
Absolutely. Maggie's the fuel to my everything. Oh, she inspires my life.
We need guitars too.
Yeah, what, we do. We need guitars. What would be your dream guitar to go with them? Like,
I don't know about you, but my dream guitar is all rosewood Larrabee.
Ooh,
it's nice. Like, but I think it's a walnut top. I can't remember. I don't know. I'm about to get this Martin in the mail, though. It's pretty nice.
Yeah. As you should.
What's your dream guitar, Emma?
Oh, my God. Sure,
is it going to be something electric?
Well, obviously. I mean, I have so many guitars that I would want, but one that I've always wanted since I was a kid is I want the classic, like, Jimmy Page 1969 Black Beauty Les Paul. Because, I mean,
Oh, like, yeah. I had a knockoff of that and that Epiphone version. That was crazy.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Those guitars rip.
Yeah.
They're amazing.
Mm.
Yeah, I feel like that's a lot of it, you know, like the Eddie Vedder classic, you know, guitar and stuff. You know, everybody has like that image of like whatever's burned into their brain as a kid, like that. Yeah. Like that's what a rock star is, and like, and like, I want that, you know, I want that guitar, and like, kind of, or it's whatever.
True that.
You know, I think there's a lot of that kind of thing. Like,
I love humbuckers, you know.
Sure.
I want too many of them. Like, I already have like my dream acoustic guitar, which was a Gibson Hummingbird.
Hell yeah.
It's not the year, you know, that I wanted, but it's different. It's a walnut top. It's, you know, got a different style pick guard than the other hummingbirds. It's got a wicked stripe down the back of it.
I love that.
But
Yeah.
You know, my dad bought me my J45 for Christmas in 2020. So, I mean, I got my Gibsons. Yeah. I just...
I love that. You know, I feel you. Because I say, like, I would want, like, the classic guitar I wanted as a kid. But, yeah. like, I love my Music Man so much. I really do.
Yeah.
Like, I have yet to find another guitar that fits me better than this instrument. Like, because when I play a lot of guitars, like, the necks feel bigger. I mean, not always, but, like, that neck is, like, so thin. And it sits right in the middle of my body. Yeah. Like, it feels like it was made to be played by a smaller person like me.
That's true.
And it's amazing. Like, oh my God, it has a 15 decibel gain boost built into the volume knob. Like,
oh my God.
I know.
It does get, I love, like, the combo that you picked for your amp, your box with the Music Man is just like chef's kiss. It's like the perfect amount of loud.
Well, and thank crunchy. You, I need my guitar to sound like a roaring lion, you know?
Yes.
Like, when I hit an E chord, I want all the sexist men to be uncomfortable.
Like, turn it down. Yeah. You're hurting our masculinity. Aw. You're killing me, dude.
Love you, dude.
I love you, too.
So, what about... All right, say you're at the concert, uh-huh. you're down there front row, and the band is up on stage and says, we want you to come up here and sing a song with us. What's the band and what's the song? What would you like to
So I'm the world's biggest Phish fan.
I couldn't tell.
I've only been going to shows for the past like 3 years, but I've been to 18 of them. I've been to a few like 4-day shows for sure. And I have been front row at a Phish show. I've had Trey Sweat on me, which is great.
Amazing.
You know? I can smell his chocolate cake candle from feet away because he always burns a chocolate cake scented Yankee candle.
Amazing.
But yeah, if I was in front of Trey and Trey was like, hey, that's my friend Holly. Get up here and play with us. Which I have had dreams about, by the way.
Right.
I would want to do Character Zero with them so that I can harmonize that badass chorus and get down to the funky jams on stage.
Yeah.
Super fun. Every Phish show is a fun show. Yeah. Either that or Carini.
Oh, yeah, dude.
What about you, Emma?
I'm having such a hard time deciding.
Oh, no.
I'm serious. Like, because childhood me, like, has this dream of, like, Rush just, like, noticing me once in my life. Like, I just want Alex Lifeson and Geddy Lee to be like, do you want to come, like, play Phrygian and Dominant with us right now? And I'm like, yes, I do. Yes, I do. As an adult, like, I'm a really big fan of this band called Larkin Poe. They just won a fucking Grammy, so I don't know why I'm talking about them like they're a small band anymore.
Yeah, they rule.
Well, they are badass.
Yeah, Megan badass. And Rebecca, they inspire me so much, like, as musicians, as songwriters, as everything. And, oh my God, if they ever were just like, Emma, come on stage, I'd be like, I'm there, like, mm-hmm. right now.
I want to be at that show just so I can watch.
I want to... I think it was still called Roots and Blues at the time in Columbia, Missouri. Mm. They just recently changed the festival name to Treeline Festival because they were kind of getting out of the Roots and Blues thing.
Yeah.
Like, so that was my biggest problem with the name was that the lineup wasn't always reflective of the name.
Yeah.
But 1 year they had like a all-female lineup or at least female-fronted bands, you know, and kind of thing. So, like, Sheryl Crow headlined. And I remember seeing Larkin Poe there, and I'm like, so it was cool. I finally, you know, like, got to see them live like that. And yeah, they rule. Like, it's a good show.
They are. I seriously love the intersection of like traditional like blues music, especially like the Delta blues, with blues rock, and how they have such a passion for appreciating the music that has molded the now for rock music and for blues music. And I think that's such a beautiful thing.
Yeah,
I really admire that.
You guys ever listen to Shaky Graves?
I know the name. I don't know that I've ever sat and listened to their album.
Give them a deep dive later.
All right.
They're pretty damn good for that vibe of like Delta blues.
Sure.
And like bridging the gap kind of.
That and are they pretty sure still together right now with one of the girls from Larkin Poe is with Tyler Bryant,
yeah,
and the Shakedown. Really? I've been a big fan of Tyler Bryant for a long time too. So like when I learned that they were together as a couple, I thought that was like, man, that's
gotta, perfect match.
Yeah, it's gotta be. Yeah. It's gotta be cool that your you know partner also plays you know music and stuff like that. So
yeah, and Tyler can be like, dude, my wife just won a Grammy.
Yeah,
yeah.
Fucking badass.
For real. I think it's a different level of support too when you're with somebody that is also kind of doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, they understand like a little bit about what you go through and experience, and I think that that's also important. Can also be not good.
Yeah.
But can be really, really good.
Yeah. It's a tricky thing, especially like for women, I feel like.
Yeah.
Finding, if you're going to be with a man, someone who is comfortable enough with themselves to support you the same way that you would support them.
Yes, I 100% agree.
Mm-hmm. All right. What about a song you wish you wrote? Is there a song that you wish was on your record and really resonates with you or anything? Anything in particular coming to mind?
So many.
There's too many songs, yeah. Shane.
All right.
I know. I feel like I'm at a restaurant. Like, can you come back to me? I'm not ready for her yet.
I haven't peeked at the menu. off the top of my head, though, I mean, I say it every time I play it. Yeah. I wish I would have written Can't Find My Way Home by Steve Winwood.
Yeah.
And I actually met one of Steve Winwood's cousins at Seamus McDaniel's not too long ago. And he was telling me about, you know, how he kind of played guitar, but he never did it the way that Steve did. And like, just when he got big, like this dude was kind of, he was like, damn, you know, but
when he did, like Steve got like, was like 16 or something.
Yeah.
Like was like already like, so that was like
already famous.
Yeah.
Jackson Browne wrote These Days when he was 16 years old.
No way.
Yeah.
Yes way.
What the heck, yes, Jackson? Way. Why are you so talented?
Yeah.
I mean,
stop.
Jesus right. Christ.
But yeah, I remember hearing that and I was like, I think like some of those early recordings, like he's like 16 years old singing those songs. And I'm like, what? Like, is like, how does that even come? Like, I don't know. That's crazy. But yeah, like it's cool that it worked out for him. But crazy to think about.
Yeah.
You got a song, Emma?
I do. You know, my answer will probably surprise some people, because as much as I want to be like, yeah, I penned Rush's entire 2112 album. I wish. But for real, like I desperately wish I could have written Joni Mitchell's Both Sides Now.
Oh, yeah.
It's such
that one
a
too.
Good song.
Yes.
Like,
I
love rock music and I love electric guitars. And, like, I feel like I resonate with that so much because of the energy.
Uh-huh.
But when I listen to Joni's music, like, I connect with her on, like, an emotional level. Like, I feel like her music resonates with me so deeply that even though it's so different from what I play, like, I love it.
Yeah. I've cried a couple of times listening to that album. Isn't that album
Blue?
Called Blue? Yeah.
Same.
Yeah, like,
it's the best.
It's just
Wait, no, that's
isn't
not
she
on Blue.
On Dulcimer?
Hold the phone. What album is that on? It
no,
is
Carrie's
on
Blue.
Clouds. So
okay,
it's on Clouds.
That's right.
Yeah.
I got them mixed up.
I totally did that too in my brain because I was going to pick A Case of You off of Blue, but then
A
I
Case
went
of You's
also really good.
Dude, talk about a song that I can't fucking sing that I wish I could sing because it's like the range and the vocal runs in that song. Joni, if you're out there, I need too many shout outs tonight.
Literally a queen. We love her.
Please listen to some small local musician. Put this into the universe.
All right.
For real.
Hey, that's a lot of why I, excuse me, that's a lot of why I do this too. Like, I believe in manifestation. I mean, put it out there, put it on the universe, see what happens, you know, and then someday we'll be like, well, she said on a podcast that she, you know, it's like, so maybe it'll happen. So I believe putting out good and good comes back. So
for real,
I feel like for all the times I've dreamt about meeting Trey Anastasio, like in a hotel, you know, just like walking to my room and him being like, oh, hey, like right. treating me like an old friend. I'm like, yeah, maybe one day. Yeah. Maybe one day I'll run into him.
Yeah.
I'm like, Megan and Rebecca, if you're listening right now, I love you.
Please let me fangirl.
Well, very cool. I appreciate you both spending some time with me tonight, making this happen. This was really a great night. I had a lot of fun with this one.
I'm glad.
Thank you.
So hopefully we can do it again soon.
Yeah, buddy. Thanks for hosting us. Yeah.
Thank you for letting me guest star.
Yeah, happy.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, it was a nice surprise.
Yeah.
But this was great. And again, get plugged in. Come out to a show. Stream all the tunes on your favorite platform. Add to your playlist and turn it up loud. But thank you all. And I'll see you soon.
Woo. Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.